The content of this program is for people who are blind and print impaired. Welcome to Flavor. I'm your host, Liz Elliott. Life is full of flavor, especially in the kitchen. Each month, we're going to pick a particular flavor or ingredient to explore. We'll talk about how we came to enjoy it and what other kinds of uses you might find for it. I have so many great kitchen stories and healthy living tips to share with you. And of course, I'll give you delicious recipes in every episode. It's May. So many wonderful foods are in season, and we can all use the simple pleasure of great food made with fresh produce. It's nourishing in so many ways to produce a great simple dish with fresh ingredients. And this month, there's strawberries and blueberries and asparagus, among so many others. While there are many delicious ways to combine cake, cream, and strawberries, I found a simple recipe on Bon Appetit that enlivens that classic combination with just a hint of another fresh ingredient, basil. From Bon Appetit, Strawberry Basil Shortcakes. The ingredients are, for the shortcakes, a quarter cup of sugar, 1 tablespoon baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon of kosher salt, 2 cups all-purpose flour plus more for your surface, 6 tablespoons or 3/4 of a stick of chilled, unsalted butter cut into pieces, 1 cup of heavy cream, 1 large egg beaten to blend. And for the berries in the assembly, your ingredients are 1.5 pounds of fresh strawberries, hulled and quartered, which comes out to about 3 cups, and we divide it. 4 tablespoons of sugar, divided. 2 sprigs of basil, 2 cups of heavy cream, and 2 tablespoons of creme fraiche. And here's the recipe preparation. For the shortcakes, preheat your oven to 400 degrees. Whisk sugar, baking powder, salt, and 2 cups flour in a large bowl. Using your fingers or a pastry cutter, work in the butter until the texture of coarse meal appears, with a few pea-sized pieces of butter remaining. Add cream and mix until dough just comes together. It will be sticky. Turn out the dough onto a lightly floured surface and pat into a 12-by-4-inch rectangle that feels about 3/4 thick. Cut out rounds with a 2.5-inch biscuit cutter, re-rolling the scraps as needed to make 8 rounds. Whisk egg with 1 tablespoon water in a small bowl. Transfer rounds to a parchment-lined baking sheet and brush the tops with the egg wash. Bake until the tops are golden brown and shortcakes are cooked through, 15 to 20 minutes. And you can do this ahead. Shortcakes can be made 2 days ahead. Just store tightly wrapped at room temperature. Now for the berries and the assembly, coarsely chop 2 cups strawberries. Use any bruised or less perfect ones here. And cook with 2 tablespoons sugar in a medium saucepan over medium heat, stirring occasionally until the berries are softened and the mixture is slightly thickened, about 5 minutes. Now let the berry compote cool. Meanwhile, toss the basil, 1 tablespoon sugar, and remaining 1 cup strawberries in a medium bowl and let sit until fruit begins to release juices, about 10 to 15 minutes. Then discard the basil. Using an electric mixer, beat cream, creme fraiche, and remaining 1 tablespoon of sugar to soft peaks, about 4 minutes. Split the shortcakes and fill with the berry compote, whipped cream mixture, and macerated strawberries. I love strawberries, and I've developed a new interest in more savory combinations for my favorite sweet fruits. Strawberries are really that perfect candidate for providing a sweet note in salads, and their scent beautifully complements onion and blue cheese in this fresh salad recipe from Southern Living. for strawberry spinach salad from Southern Living. Nothing says spring like a fresh strawberry and spinach salad. Served with grilled chicken, a pork tenderloin, or boiled shrimp, a strawberry and spinach salad is a light and easy way to add healthy fruits and vegetables to your menu. Spring is strawberry season, and since it is way too short, head to the farmers markets and buy these juicy jewels by the pound and bake your favorite strawberry desserts. It's tempting to buy a box of the huge berries that flood the produce aisle of grocery stores during winter, but the out-of-season picks may look good, but they just don't deliver on taste. Strawberries harvested before they ripen might turn a bit more red after they're picked, but they'll never get any sweeter. The key to the fruit's deliciousness? Give them time under the sun in the fields to ripen, from cap to tip, and develop its unmistakable scent. When slicing berries, aroma, not color, is a sure sign of good flavor, so follow your nose to find the cream of the crop. If you don't use all the berries immediately, it's a good idea to freeze strawberries so you can enjoy a taste of spring in the middle of winter. Just before freezing, gently wash the berries in cool water and pat them dry with paper towels. Remove and discard the stems, leaves, and any underripe or damaged fruit. For a quick freeze, place whole berries in a single layer on a jelly roll pan and freeze them until firm. Pack into a Ziploc freezer bag, leaving 1 inch of head space. Squeeze out all the excess air, seal, and freeze up to 8 months. The ingredients for the salad are 1 small Vidalia onion chopped, and that should yield about 1/2 cup, 1/2 cup of light olive oil, 3 tablespoons white balsamic vinegar, 1 tablespoon plus 2 teaspoons of granulated sugar, 1 tablespoon mayonnaise, 1/2 teaspoon Dijon mustard, 1/4 teaspoon kosher salt, 1 10-ounce package of fresh spinach, 1 pound fresh strawberries, stemmed and halved, which should yield about 2.5 cups, 4 ounces of blue cheese, crumbled, which should yield about 1 cup, and 1 cup of chopped candied pecans. And this is how to make it. Step 1. Process onion, oil, vinegar, sugar, mayonnaise, mustard, and salt in a blender until it's creamy and smooth for about 50 seconds. Step 2. Arrange the spinach, strawberries, blue cheese, and pecans on a large platter and drizzle with dressing. I'll be honest, it took me a while to come around to loving asparagus. But when I finally figured out what I was missing, I started finding a place for it on my table as often as possible. This year, I plan on experimenting with pickled asparagus. I found a fantastic recipe for that in Our State magazine. This is from Our State magazine in the Our State Eats column. This was published in the April 2020 issue. Pickled asparagus spears. This yields about 1 quart or 6 servings. And the ingredients are 2 pounds fresh asparagus spears, tips firm and intact, 2 cups of water, 3/8 cup of rice vinegar, 1.5 tablespoons kosher salt, 1 tablespoon honey, 2 cloves garlic peeled, 2 to 3 lemon slices with the seeds removed, 2 sprigs of fresh dill, 1 teaspoon whole mustard seeds. Wash and trim the asparagus, cutting off 2 to 3 inches from the base. Discard lower stems. Bring a large pot of water to a boil. Meanwhile, prepare a large bowl of ice water. When the pot of water is at a full rolling boil, drop in the asparagus spears and boil for 15 seconds. Drain the asparagus in a colander and immediately transfer it to the bowl of ice water. In a small saucepan, combine 2 cups of water, vinegar, salt, and honey. Bring to a boil, stirring once or twice to dissolve the salt and honey. Remove from the heat and let the brine cool slightly. Place the garlic, cloves, and lemon slices into the bottom of a clean glass quart jar. Place the asparagus spears in the jar, tips facing upward, and pack tightly. Add the dill and mustard seeds as you do so. Pour the cooled brine into the jar over the other ingredients, completely covering the asparagus with the liquid. Secure the lid and store in the refrigerator for up to 7 days. Blueberries are now in season, and I've found a million ways to cook them. But my husband, Mike, just loves blueberry muffins. I like a sprinkle of sugar on the top, just to make them feel a little fancier. This is a very basic recipe from King Arthur Flour, and it's a great recipe to have on hand to showcase those particularly delicious blueberries that you find this year. From King Arthur Flour, this is a recipe for blueberry muffins. The prep time is about 20 minutes. They bake 18 to 24 minutes. Should take a total of 38 minutes, and it should yield 12 muffins. Here are the ingredients. 2 1/4 cups, or 269 grams, of King Arthur unbleached all-purpose flour. 1 1/2 teaspoons baking powder. 1/2 teaspoon baking soda. 1/2 to 3/8 teaspoons salt to taste. 4 tablespoons, or 57 grams, of unsalted butter at room temperature. 3/4 cup to 7/8 cup, or 149 grams to 174 grams, of granulated sugar. 2 large eggs. 2 teaspoons vanilla extract. 1/2 cup, or 113 grams, of sour cream or plain yogurt. Full fat will yield the most tender muffins. 1 1/2 cups, or 213 grams, of blueberries, fresh or frozen. And coarse white sparkling sugar for garnish, and that's optional. Here are the instructions. Preheat the oven to 375 degrees Fahrenheit. Line a muffin pan with papers and grease the papers. Step 2. Measure the flour by gently spooning it into a cup and then sweeping off any excess. In a medium-sized bowl, whisk together flour, baking powder, baking soda, and salt, and then set it aside. Step 3. In a large bowl, beat the butter and sugar with a handheld or stand mixer until light, fluffy, and almost white in color. Start the mixer at low speed until the ingredients are incorporated, and then gradually increase the speed to medium-high until the desired color and texture are reached. Step 4. Scrape down the bowl to make sure all the butter is incorporated. Then add the eggs, one at a time, beating well after each addition. Step 5. Add the vanilla and sour cream or yogurt and mix until incorporated. Step 6. Add the dry ingredients and mix on low speed just until the batter is smooth. The batter will be very thick, almost like a cookie dough. Step 7. Fold in the berries by hand. If you use frozen berries, the batter will become even stiffer. Don't worry about it, it's fine. Step 8. Scoop the batter into the prepared muffin cups, using a heaping 1/4 cup for each. Again, the batter will be thick and stiff. Don't expect it to settle. Sprinkle with regular granulated or coarse white sugar if desired. Step 9. Bake the muffins for 18 to 24 minutes until a cake tester inserted in the center of one of them comes out clean. Remove them from the oven. Cool in the pan for 5 minutes. Then remove the muffins from the pan to finish cooling on a rack. Okay, I cannot resist giving you just one more blueberry recipe. This is Reed Drummond's Blueberry Cobbler from the Food Network site. It is a fantastic summer dessert with, of course, vanilla ice cream. This is Reed Drummond's Blueberry Cobbler from the Food Network website. It'll take about an hour total to make, and it'll yield 10 to 12 servings. The ingredients are, for the blueberries, 8 cups of fresh blueberries, 2/3 cup sugar, 1 tablespoon lemon juice, 1/4 cup all-purpose flour, and 2 tablespoons of cold salted butter cut into pieces. And for the dough, you need 2.5 cups of all-purpose flour, 2.5 heaping tablespoons of sugar, plus more for sprinkling, 1 tablespoon baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon salt, 1.5 sticks of cold salted butter cut into pieces, 3/4 cup milk, 1 large egg, and then on the side, some vanilla ice cream for serving. And here are the directions. Step 1, preheat the oven to 425 degrees Fahrenheit. Step 2, for the blueberries, place the blueberries in a large bowl and then sprinkle in the sugar and lemon juice. Add the flour and stir everything gently to combine. Step 3, for the dough in a separate bowl, combine the flour, sugar, baking powder, and salt. Stir it around. Then add the cold butter and use a pastry blender to cut the butter into the dry ingredients. Step 4. Whisk together the milk and egg in a small bowl. Then drizzle it into the flour-butter mixture and stir until the dough just comes together. It should be lumpy and clumpy. Step 5. Pour the blueberries into a 9x13-inch baking dish and dot them with the butter. Then tear off pinches of the dough and dot them all over the top. Sprinkle the top with extra sugar. Step 6. Cover lightly with foil and bake for 20 minutes. Then remove the foil and bake until lightly browned, about 25 more minutes. Serve it warm or at room temperature with a big scoop of vanilla ice cream. In addition to all of this wonderful fresh produce, it's also the season to get our herb gardens going. And I found a great article on epicurious.com about how to have a thriving kitchen herb garden. From epicurious.com, How to Have a Thriving Kitchen Herb Garden by Wilder Davies. The impulse to start a kitchen herb garden is typically born out of frustration. You buy the healthiest looking basil and cilantro from the grocery store, but despite your best efforts, the fresh sprigs decompose into acrid slime before you can use them all. Of course, there are ways you can take advantage of fresh herbs past their prime. Still, wouldn't it be nice to just use herbs at your leisure and not feel like you're making pesto with a gun held to your head? Now more than ever, you may be herb garden curious. And as an avid herb grower myself, I express my unhindered support. To best prepare you for growing your own herbs, I tapped the mind of my coworker Joey DeLeo, who has a lifetime of gardening experience and 15 years managing a community garden under his belt. We came up with some tips, advice, and supplies to help you cultivate an herb garden of your own. If at all possible, grow them outside. Yes, a sprightly row of plants would be delightful on your kitchen windowsill, but most herbs would rather be outside. As Joey points out, most culinary herbs prefer full sun, which means at least 6 hours of direct sunlight a day. Unless you have an unobstructed, south-facing window, chances are your plants won't get enough light indoors. Most homes are also too dry for herbs, which can put stress on plants and make them more susceptible to pests. Basil is particularly vulnerable. Currently, I grow my herbs in the window cage next to our air conditioner. I may have to climb over my couch and hold the window open with my head in order to water them each morning, but the payoff of thriving dill, parsley, and mint plants is worth it. If outdoors truly is a no-go, put the herbs in the brightest spot in your apartment, even if it's inconvenient to the kitchen. Okay, maybe you can't set up a window box. Your apartment is too dark, or you want fresh herbs year-round. Your best option then would be to get a growing setup with a timed light. For the reasons mentioned above, herbs need lots of light, and during winter, even your sunniest window won't cut it. A timed light will provide your plants the necessary amount of light to replicate optimal growing conditions. However, as setups like these can be pricey, you might be better off buying herbs from the store during the colder months if your goal in growing herbs is to save money. Also, if you want to go down the path of using one of those all-in-one herb growing systems online, be aware that many have specialized seed pod systems or other features that give you less control over what you can grow. Seeds are not for beginners. Growing herbs from seeds takes a great deal of time and patience. If you're a first-timer, Joey recommends buying a small plant from the grocery or garden store or order it online. It costs roughly the same, and you don't need to worry about germinating weeks in advance. Frankly, starting from seed only makes sense for people who are either growing herbs on a larger scale or are using an indoor growing setup. Grow what you eat. Parsley? Pah! What am I, some hayseed? I'm going to grow marjoram and savory. Listen, I've been there. It's tempting to grow something different or new rather than the old standbys. But how many recipes actually call for savory? If you prioritize the herbs that you eat most, you'll get much more mileage out of your kitchen herb garden. Know how to trim. If you want your herb plant to provide you with foliage all season long, you can't simply chop at it whenever you want. As the plant grows gradually, so will the amount you can take from it. In other words, don't expect a giant batch of pesto in May. Many herbs benefit from a little shaping and attention in order to cultivate a more robust plant. Every herb is different, but a good general rule of thumb is that you should never let them flower. Plants will put their growing energy into the bloom, so snipping them as soon as you can will ensure a more leafy growth instead. For whatever you choose to grow, do a quick Googling to determine the best way to trim your specific herbs. It's a little extra effort with a huge payoff. Finally, know which plants work best together. Some herbs, like rosemary, lavender, and thyme, thrive in drier soil, whereas others, like mint, chives, and basil, prefer generous waterings. A common mistake Joey has seen with new herb growers is that they will try to grow the plants with different watering needs in the same box, resulting in inconsistent growth. Instead, only group plants that require similar growing conditions and buy separate containers for those that don't. Also keep in mind any plants that have invasive tendencies, especially if you're putting them into the ground. Anything in the mint family will take over whatever you put it in, plus it reseeds itself. So now that you know how to get going on your herb garden, I've got a delicious, very basic recipe for pesto sauce, which is one of my favorite things to make in the summer. It's quite fresh and delicious and so easy to do. Here's a great recipe from Bon Appetit. From bonappetit.com, this is BA's Best Pesto, and the recipe is by Andy Baragani. The ingredients are a half cup of pine nuts, 3 ounces of Parmesan grated to make about 3/4 cup, 2 garlic cloves finely grated, 6 cups basil leaves, about 3 bunches, 3/4 cup extra virgin olive oil, and 1 teaspoon of kosher salt. Preheat the oven to 350 degrees. Toast the pine nuts on a rimmed baking sheet, tossing once halfway through until golden brown, which should take about 5 to 7 minutes. Transfer to a food processor and let them cool. Add cheese and garlic and pulse until finely ground, which should take about 1 minute. Add the basil and place the top back on. With the motor running, add the oil in a slow and steady stream until pesto is mostly smooth with just a few flecks of green for about 1 minute. Season with salt. And this recipe includes just a few chef's notes. The pesto can be made 1 day ahead. Top with a half inch of oil to prevent browning. Cover with plastic wrap, pressing directly onto the surface, and chill. If you want to use this with pasta, cook 12 ounces of dried pasta, they prefer long pasta for pesto, in a large pot of boiling salted water, stirring occasionally until al dente. Drain, reserving a half cup of pasta cooking liquid. Place pesto and 2 tablespoons of unsalted butter cut into pieces in a large bowl. Add the pasta and 1/4 cup of the pasta cooking liquid. Using tongs, toss it vigorously, adding more pasta cooking liquid if needed until the pasta is glossy and well coated with the sauce. Season with the salt, divide pasta among the bowls, and top with finely grated Parmesan. So there you have it. Some great recipes to get us into summer. We've got recipes for blueberries, recipes for strawberries. We've learned how to pickle asparagus, grow an herb garden, and we had a great recipe from Bon Appetit for that very simple pesto sauce. I wanted to leave you with a quote today. Paul Prudhomme said, "You don't need a silver fork to eat good food." And that's so true. That really gets to the essence of summer cooking. Simple, humble ingredients. They don't have to be expensive, just beautiful and fresh, and they come together easily to produce a really great, nourishing dish that we can all enjoy. I love summer food. I cannot wait to keep talking to you about it. We haven't even gotten into corn and squash and tomatoes. So much to talk about over the summer, but today I'm out of time. But I'll be back next month. And until then, I hope you enjoy all the flavorful things in life. Flavor is recorded for the North Carolina Reading Service. All articles are read exactly as written, unless shortened for time. It can also be found as a podcast after the broadcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org.